everyone. This is Steve Donahue with another episode of the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. I think you'll like the episode today. It's going to be a little bit different than maybe what I've done in the past, but it came about because I was trying to figure out a good symbol for the Legacy Podcast, something that I could put as an icon or something that would be memorable and applicable. And I thought about it the other day when I was in the shower, when I was thinking about some plants or some trees that I planted a while back. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at the symbolism of a tree and how it represents a legacy and how we can build a legacy as it relates to building or planting a tree. And so it should be pretty interesting. Have an angle both of the value of a tree as well as the value of a legacy. But before we actually do that, I want to take care of some business. First of all, check us out on the website if you're not already regularly going to the website to look at it, look at the updates, that kind of thing. I encourage you to do that. And you'll see that we have a new icon up on the right-hand column, and that, of course, is a picture of an oak tree. And then also check us out on Facebook. I'd appreciate it if you are on Facebook that you would like our fan page. That would help build our base there and let other people know about us. And also, if you could subscribe to us on the website and our membership, you can do that on the right hand top corner of each of the pages. There's a place there where it says register as a member. Now, what that will do, of course, is it will allow you to get into our member section. Right now, our member section has a couple of items that might be of interest to you. One is that it has a program on there that will allow you to eliminate your debt quickly. A database program where you can enter in your debt and shows you how to pay off your debts pretty fast using the debt snowball. A couple other items on there, and we're hoping to build more and more value on our members section, and eventually that will be a paid program. But for now, everything is free, so sign up if you can on the membership section. That would be great. And then also, I want you to tell your friends about us and let them know about us as well. And then, of course, you can download us on iTunes. You can download through the RSS feed on the website. And obviously, you are listening to this now, which means you figured out some way to download us. But I just want to let you know some of the other ways you can do that. And then finally, appreciate your feedback. You can provide us with feedback on each of the episodes online at our website, which is thelegacypodcast.net. Or you can give feedback through iTunes, and you can walk through how to do that on the iTunes section. And then you can also give feedback directly to me at feedbackthelegacypodcast.net. Again, that's feedbackthelegacypodcast.net. So that takes care of the business portion of today's episode. So let's go ahead and take care of the actual content of the day's episode. And this is going to be six things we can learn from a tree about building a legacy. And so the first thing is that a tree can last for generations. In fact, most trees last for many generations. Now, when I was doing some research for this, I looked into some various trees and the age of trees and what we can find out from that. And it's remarkable how long a tree can live. There's a tree in California. It's a bristlecone pine tree. It's called Methuselah. And, of course, Methuselah comes from the age in which it is living, and the Methuselah of the Bible lived 969 years, longest living person recorded in history. And so this tree is actually it's not the oldest tree. There's actually some older trees. In fact, there was a tree next to it that was being tested for its age by the forester who was testing these, and he broke a piece of his equipment inside the tree while he was testing it. And so he asked to be able to cut down the tree. When they cut it down, they found out that it was actually older than Methuselah. But Methuselah is alive now, and it's 4,789 years old. Can you imagine that? 4,789 years old, this tree. It's a bristlecone pine, and that's just amazing. But there's other ones like it. There's a sacred fig tree in Sri Lanka, which is the oldest planted tree. Now, of course, we don't know. Methuselah obviously was planted on its own. No one planted that. That was planted by the flood or creation or something. But the sacred fig of Sri Lanka was actually planted by a human in 288 BC, which would make it over 2,200 years old now. So again, 2,200-year-old tree, still alive, still kicking. And then there's the Cormac tree. This is the olive tree of Sardinia, Italy. And it is aged to about 3,000 years old. So a fig tree still producing figs, or I'm sorry, an olive tree still producing olives, 3,000 years old. Now, if you bring it back a little bit closer to home, you look at some of the trees we might be familiar with here in the United States, in the eastern part of the United States. If you look at the white oak tree, there's an oak tree called the Y oak, which up until 2002 was the oldest living oak that they know. Now, we don't, of course, know how old all the oaks are. There are some in forests around that no one really can tell how old they are. But this one was, you know, near a larger place, and so it was able to be identified. And it was apparently from the 1500s it had been growing up until 2002. Now, unfortunately, a severe thunderstorm in June 6, 2002 brought its demise. But at the end of its life, when it finally came down, the tree measured 31 feet 6 inches or 8 inches in circumference and was 96 feet tall and average crown spread of 119 feet. So this was just this enormous, majestic, 400-year-old oak tree. I mean, that's just incredible. The actual weight of the tree, the main bole, was 61,000 pounds. I mean, you can make a lot of tables and a lot of wood products out of 61,000 pounds of oak tree. And that's just a massive tree. And, you know, these trees lasted for generation after generation. Now, my Nana, who was my grandmother on my mother's side, when my brothers and I were all born, she planted a tree for each of us on her property in Montana. And every time we would go to visit her, she would show us these trees. And it was neat to watch them grow. I don't even remember what kind mine was. My older brother probably remembers because he was a little bit older, can remember what kind it was. I don't recall. But, you know, we would go, and every time we would visit there, we'd be able to see the progress of our tree growing. And, you know, since that time, she has passed away. The house has been sold, and, you know, I haven't been back there in years. And I would love to be able to go back there someday and to be able to see how much that tree has grown and know that it is still alive and that it's still growing and, you know, that it'll probably be growing for generations. And I could probably take my kids back there and show them the tree that my grandmother planted. And that's the kind of thing that, you know, is a legacy. Planting of a tree is like planting a legacy or building a legacy. It lasts for generation after generation. The legacy that you and I are building is designed to pass from one generation to the next. That's why on the Legacy Podcast, the tagline is multi-generational legacy. We have a goal to be able to produce something in our lives that will be carried on from one generation to the next, and that they can observe it and see the legacy that was passed on as it continues to grow. Legacy builders live their lives in such a way that they can impact 3, 4, 5, or even more generations. And so one of the things that we see from a tree is that it can last for generations, just like a legacy can last for generations. But secondly, it takes time and investment that are often not seen in the first generation. Now, this, we touched upon this already in the first point, but this one also is important, and that is that, you know, it takes some time and investment, often not seen in the first generation. Now, I planted this last spring, I planted about 80 different trees. I planted about 10 white oak trees, I planted some persimmon trees, I planted some apple trees, some pear trees, some black locust trees. Just a lot of different kinds, and I got them from the local forestry service. And so there's, you know, these 1 or 2 foot tall trees. I also planted some chestnut trees, really small trees. And, you know, as I was planting them, one of my boys was saying, so how long is it going to take for us to be able to see, you know, chestnuts from this chestnut tree? I don't remember exactly which one he was referring to, whether it was the apple or chestnut or whether it was the oak tree or whatever. And I told him, I said, it's going to be decades before these things are into full maturity. And, you know, you will be able to bring your children here and be able to see these trees growing after generations. And so, you know, I'm putting out this effort, and my wife in some regards, she was a little bit critical of the time I was spending in planting these trees, thinking that there was more important things that I could be doing that were of more immediate need. And yet I understood that I was doing something for future generations. I was doing something that I might not be able to see the benefit of, but one day maybe my grandchildren or my great-grandchildren will be able to sit under the shade tree of an oak tree that I planted. And that's what legacy building is all about. That's the way it is with building a legacy. It's not a short-term gain project. When you see a majestic oak tree, you have to remember that there has been a lot of time and investment that went into the growth of that tree to make it that majestic. All the good things that we see in life, all the good things that we experience in life, they take time, whether it's planting a tree or building a legacy. And so it takes time and investment that are often not seen in the first generation. The third thing that we can learn from a tree related to a legacy is that it has many branches from the one trunk. Now, there's actually a clone tree thousands of trees. There is an aspen grove in the Rocky Mountains here in the United States that from one tree now covers 27,000 acres of trees. So it's a whole forest of trees, all from one tree. And they're all clones of that one tree, all descendants of that one tree. And of course, we know the aspens, they actually reproduce by suckers that come underground from the roots. And so all of these trees then are from that one tree. 27,000 acres of an aspen grove, all from that one tree. And then if you bring it more to, like, I like to use the example of a white oak. In this case, if you look at a white oak is branched out significantly, especially if it's in the open air, like some of the ones I'd mentioned before. If it's in the open air, it branches out, and these branches then can sometimes actually go out further than the tree goes up. It's not unusual to find an oak tree that may be 80 feet tall, but has branches that extend out over 80 feet. As I mentioned earlier, you know, we had this, the white oak of Maryland that was 96 feet tall, but it had 119 foot crown spread. And so, you know, that symbolizes to me that the generations following that first generation from a tree like the mighty oak tree can actually be greater and better than the first generation. You know, this is where the term family tree comes from. And, you know, it's not inconsequential that when genealogists and family tree makers and all these kinds of people that, you know, look at their heritage and record their genealogy, that they use the chart of a tree to chart out those descendant and those lines of hereditary nature. Now, I'm not much into mapping genealogy. My dad does a lot of that. He's given me some charts and he's given me some tables and things like that with the genealogical lines and all that. And, you know, I know that there are probably some who may be listening to this who are into, recording their genealogy. And certainly it would be something of interest. And, you know, I hope to maybe interview somebody who does this to a far greater extent than I know, but somebody who is able to map out their own heritage and then pass that on to their children so that their children then have that as a legacy as well. And so this whole idea of the tree branching out with new descendants and branching out with new forks in the line is an idea that can remind us of the importance of building generational legacy. A tree can be a reminder to us that we will be a part and that we are a part of a family tree. And so the fourth thing that we learn then is that the influence and benefits of a tree are amazing. Now, you can find a lot of different articles talking about the benefits of various trees, and there are a lot of different benefits of various trees. Obviously, if you're looking at a fruit tree, the fruit itself is a benefit, or a nut tree, the nut itself is a benefit. And, you know, certain trees have certain specific benefits. I want to just look at some of the general benefits of a tree that are spelled out. And I've, you know, captured these from various different sources. There's a great couple pages in a book called Gaia's Garden. You can find that actually in my recommended books on my website, on the Legacy Podcast website. And the title of that section of the book is called Many Roles of a Tree. And so I've got some of the items from that and indexed them into a way that is just a list. And so I want to present those to you. These are just some of the benefits of a tree. Number one, it reduces flooding by catching and storing water. There's actually underneath a tree, there is a lake. It's underground. It's caught up in the soil. It's caught up into the roots and all this kind of stuff. But if you were to squeeze out the water contained underneath a tree and contained in the root systems and stored up in that, you would be able to actually have a small lake underneath those trees. And especially if you go to a forest or something like that, it's even more significant. So reducing flooding and catching and storing water. Number two, it improves water quality. This is, partly because the roots then intersect with that water and they take up in themselves some of the toxins, and it, purifies the water just by the way that God has designed the trees to be able to do that. Number three, provides mulch through leaf drop and through twigs and things like that, acorns, whatever it might be that drop from the tree. They then go into the forest floor or into the floor around the tree and produce a mulch. And so it is a way of recycling its own waste. And then it improves air quality. We know, of course, that you've probably heard numerous times where when you cut down the trees, the temperature goes up or the air quality goes down or something like that, and how the greenhouse gases, because we're emitting more fossil fuels and all this kind of stuff you can hear. And, I'm not going to take a position on this in this podcast, although I certainly have a position on these things. But what my point is behind this is that the trees can actually capture some of the toxins in the air. And, of course, they're able to convert the CO2 into energy for themselves to grow. And so it's a way of improving air quality. Number five, it regulates temperature. Because the tree and its canopy is able to keep the ground underneath it cooler and is able to block out some of the sunlight, and then because it's, the evaporation is not happening, it keeps the moisture there and the humidity within the tree, and it's able to regulate the temperature. It's not as hot on hot days, and it's not as cold on cold days as it is apart from the tree. And then number six, it reduces erosion. Of course, this is why some people plant trees along slopes, because those trees, as they root themselves into the ground, are able to prevent some of that erosion. Number seven is it serves as a windbreak. Trees, if you put them on the windward side, they're able to reduce the wind a great deal. And, of course, this is an exponentially designed structure when it comes to breaking the wind. Number eight, they increase soil quality, partly because of the leaf mulch that they provide, but also because they're able to bring up nutrients from deep within the soil that enable other plants and the ground to be able to absorb that in a better way. And so they increase the soil quality. Number nine, they provide resources like wood, syrup, food, fiber, nuts, fruit, whatever you might think you can think of from coming from a tree. These trees provide them, and so it's a valuable thing. That's more specific, but generally they provide valuable resources. Number 10, they increase biodiversity. The world would be a very dull place if everything was a pasture. And so the trees provide edge. They provide biodiversity. Of course, they provide a place for animals and insects and things like that to be able to come. And that's number 11, and that is provides habitat for animals. The birds are able to roost in it. The squirrels are able to go up in the tree, whatever it might be. Different kinds of animals and diverse flora and fauna are able to cooperate with the tree and to be able to live as a result of it. And then it also, number 12, provides aesthetic value. There's a beauty of being able to sit under the shade tree of an old oak tree. Or there is a real beauty in being able to look at the flower blossoms of a peach tree. And so there's some aesthetic value to them as well. It also provides shade. I don't know how many times I've, you know, been walking somewhere and then you come upon a tree and you can feel the temperature change when you walk underneath that tree and provides you with the shade from the sun. Number 14, it increases moisture in the air. Mentioned this a little bit already, but because the ground is shaded, the evaporation from the ground is less, and so it, and then when it does evaporate, it evaporates up into the canopy of the tree itself, and then it is able to keep that moisture within its, and 50% of the clouds that are created as a result of the water that is coming from the trees. The other 50%, of course, comes from the water and the water cycle itself. And so it's able to increase the moisture in the air. Number 15, it increases property values. When you've got land or when you've got even a small lot that has beautiful trees or an old oak or some fruit trees or something like that, it provides a great valuable asset to that property. And then number 16, it reflects the glory of God, both within its diversity, within its majesty, with its enormity, with its strength, with its age. All of these things help us to see a glimpse of the glory of God. And so all of these qualities, all of these characteristics of a tree show us a glimpse of the magnificence of God. And because of that, you know, the influence and the benefit of the tree is amazing. And so too, the influence that you can have on generations to come by building a legacy is amazing. You know, you don't even know really what your life right now might count for in the future. You know, it could be that you're setting in place now things that will be of great and amazing impact upon generations to come. Who knows what kind of benefit you could provide to generations to come by planting your legacy now. And then number 5 is it must be free to grow for it to last and be all that it can be. You know, if you take a tree and you plant it in a place where it is crowded, whether the roots are crowded or the actual canopy, the span of the tree is crowded, it will stunt the growth of the tree. I had personal experience of this a couple years back. I purchased a fig tree and I was going to move it in and out of the greenhouse and things like that. So I put it into this huge pot but I didn't realize that it needed actually a bigger pot than what I had provided. And so it never quite thrived. I tried to get it to work and it would look like it was going to produce and lose all its leaves. And I'd go back to try to baby it again and it'd come back. And I did this back and forth a couple of seasons. And finally, it no longer made it. And that was because it was crowded and it needed more space than what I was able to give it. It needed to be more free. The ideal conditions allow for free growth of the tree. This is why some of the biggest oak trees are the ones that are in an open, unobstructed area. If you go to an old oak forest, many of the oak trees, actually, they don't have a lot of lower limbs. They'll go straight up. And then, you know, eventually as they work their way up, they'll start to span out a little bit in their limbs because they're crowded. They don't have optimal growth. But the big old oak trees are the ones that sit by the old farmhouse that have been there for 120, 200 years, 250 years, something like that. And they got the big old limbs in the bottom. And that's because they've had the optimal space to grow. They've had freedom to be able to grow and expand. And, you know, the same thing is true for you and me. If we're going to leave a multi-generational legacy of abundance, we have to be free. We have to be able to dig down deep our roots and place those deeply. This is why personal property rights are so important. Without property rights, whatever foundational root structures we develop can be rooted out at any moment. You know, if you talk to somebody who has lived overseas, particularly in areas where property rights have not been honored, third world countries or developing world, something like that, and you know, they don't want to invest in building anything because they realize that it could be immediately rooted up and taken away from them. And so you have to have property rights in order to have that ability to freely develop something that will last and something that will be deeply rooted. And so we can learn from the tree that it has to be free in order to build something or to grow something enormous and great. And the same thing's true with our legacy. And then finally, number six, it has great symbolism. You know, not only has the oak tree been the symbol for a lot of different nations, including the United States, but the tree in general has had a great significance, particularly when you look at the Bible. There's two passages in particular that I want to look at. First of all, Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." And so here the godly man is compared to a fruitful tree. So there's a lot of symbolism there. If God uses the imagery of a tree to compare it to the godly man, then the tree can provide us with a great deal of significance when it comes to looking at a legacy that we are building as well as potentially, hopefully, godly men. Psalm 128 verses 1, 3, 4, and 6 says, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall be the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel." And so the godly man is described here as having olive trees, his children, all about his table. And of course, in Bible times and in Bible lands, the olive tree was extremely important. It was a very valuable asset, rich in abundance. And so here we see from these two scriptures alone the idea that trees symbolize multi-generational abundance. And so it is a tree that I have chosen to be the symbol for the Legacy Podcast because of these reasons, and I think it's fitting for us. And so the next time that we see a great majestic tree, or the next time we see a tree, we plant a tree, whatever it might be, I want us to remember, what kind of legacy are we planting? What are we doing today that will result in abundance for generations to come? So go plant your tree. Maybe literally, but certainly figuratively, as you plant your legacy. And with that, this has been Steve Donahue with the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generation legacy of abundance. What will you do today to build your legacy? You'll be chained by just one line. And I'm on.